looking at the first round of suggestions you made, you had to come back recently with a second round for even more reductions. But initially, even we were talking about quite a few high school teaching positions, for instance, 26, I think, and then 9 more with special ed. But tell us why that many high school positions were on the chopping block.
The reason that the high school cuts were possible for us is because we changed the staffing model. The SEA, the Springfield Education Association, agreed to alter, through a memorandum of understanding, the workload of high school teachers. We have a 7-period high school day. Up until now, and including this year, teachers have taught 5 classes, had 1 prep period, and 1 collaboration period, so they've taught 5 out of 7. They've agreed to teach 6 of 7 next year, and so by doing so, each teacher teaching 6 classes instead of 5 allowed us to reduce staffing by 1/7 of the high school staff, and so the majority of the teaching cuts came there. Student day doesn't change, but the high school teacher workload does.
And then another thing you put on the chopping block, so to speak, was the librarians, to the point now it looks like there will be no librarians within elementary schools. Can you talk about that?
Right. The district has, in its recent past, gone back and forth with elementary librarians. In the early 2000s, as I was leaving here and Dr. Rutledge became the superintendent, the district dealt with some budget cutting then, and elementary librarians were eliminated back then. They were added back, but in the small number of 4.5 librarians to serve 18 schools, so that the library program in our elementary schools has been a very limited program, even when it's been there. So the thinking is that given the limited scope of the library program, it wasn't that elementary principals said, oh, we want to give up library. What they said was that if the choice was between losing classroom teachers or librarians, that they felt that the loss of the librarians would have less negative impact on students than would the loss of regular classroom teachers.
Technology is a big reduction here with $1.5 million. That's an Apple lease that was going to expire regardless, though, right?
That's correct. The district entered into a multi-year lease purchase arrangement with Apple Computers. The district spent $1,906,000 a year for the last 3 years to acquire a significant number of computers to put into the hands of students and teachers for classroom use. We're at the end of that lease period. What would be ideal would be to continue a commitment for acquiring technology, an amount approximate to that, but that's just not in the cards. So we're going to cut back drastically next year our acquisition of technology.
And security cuts around $200,000, but you're talking about positions, or how does that work?
So the city used to get a grant that paid for 1 uniformed police officer in our one each in our 3 high schools and in our alternative high school. That grant was lost a number of years ago. And when it was lost, the district then picked up the costs, and we were actually paying essentially the salary and benefits of a policeman whose full-time assignment was in one of these schools. Prior to the time that that grant came along, we had hired off-duty police officers at an overtime rate and paid the officer directly, and that's the model that we're returning to because we don't have benefit costs. And so it becomes a much more cost-effective option for us. So it's a change in how we're going to provide security, but we're not lessening or diminishing security.
You came back with some more reductions, around $665,000 worth, it looks like. Two of those positions were, one was like a technology instructor who helps facilitate different like one-to-one iPad programs in the elementary school, as well as the webmaster. And, you know, there were some protests to that, including one of those people who came to talk about her job and why she feels that's important. How did you decide those were where the extra cuts could be?
When the board asked me to go beyond the original list that was a little bit over the target of the $4.7 million hole in the budget that we identified, I looked at a number of other options for budget cuts. There was a citizens study that was done a couple of years ago. There was a lot of information of past thinking, and I referred to that. I talked to other people on my staff and added some things to the list that had been considered before. I have to say, I think people who've worked with me know that I'm a very passionate supporter of the use of technology in the classroom. So to include cuts of those of that type indicates that there weren't a lot of other options there. And it is true that someone who's without any question has trained more people on the classroom use of technology than any other individual in our district, a person that I consider one of the original pioneers. Her job is on the chopping block. She spoke eloquently last night. And if you listen carefully when she talked about the people that hired her, it's ironic. I hired her many years ago. So I say to everybody, no one likes doing these cuts. They're hard, and I can say just hate doing them. That's a real live personal example of just why making these cuts is so hard. And I sincerely say, these touch real people in real ways, and all of these cuts hurt our ability to provide the quality program for children that we want to.
And lawmakers are now saying that with the income tax expiring, there could be another extra billion coming away from schools. Is that of any concern? Right now they're funding at about 89%. Is there any worry that that percentage could get even lower?
Frankly, if that's the real position the General Assembly is going to take, that they're going to reduce funding more, the citizens of the state really ought to seriously consider recalling the whole outfit. It's just absolutely unconscionable to think that in this state that the lawmakers of the state are considering cuts further. Any of them that could participate in that activity and ever utter any claim to hold the public's interest in their hands and the interests of the children of the state are lying through their teeth if they do that. I, like most people in the state, don't expect our General Assembly to get much right. To me, I sadly say it's just more business as usual. I realize it's political posturing, and like most people in the state, I think most of us are just sick of it. The General Assembly has acted inappropriately in this state regarding school funding for a very, very long time, and it saddens me that there are so many people in the state who commit their careers to the service of young people to be let down so many times by an irresponsible General Assembly that doesn't do its job.
And I've heard people ask, you know, why no cuts coming from athletics, for one?
Well, athletics, first of all, if you cut the whole athletic program, we would have only made the entire athletic subsidy budget would have only been 1/7 of the cuts that we were making. The notion, certainly athletics gets way more attention relative to what its cost is or its place in the budget. But the other is that there's a strong will and a desire by this community for schools to keep their athletic programs. There might be some people that say, well, cut athletics first, but there's nothing in my experience that would suggest that that would have strong community support.
Something you hear a lot, I'm sure, is the administration cut more of those positions. Why aren't there more of those on the chopping block?
Well, the frank reason why there's not more on the chopping block in 2014 in this district is because there have been significant cuts made there already. I mentioned at last week's budget hearing that no division in the district suffered more cuts in the last 7 years than the Department of Teaching and Learning, which is the department in this building that people typically think about when they talk about cutting school administrators.
And so what needs to be done for there to be a brighter future regarding the budget, which of course will affect students and kids? You said before, you know, we're past the meat, getting to the bone.
The full funding of the state aid formula as required by the state constitution would be a wonderful first start. Now, I'm a realist. We're not going to go from where we are to 89% funding level to full funding anytime soon, or certainly not in 1 year. So, I mean, given all the rhetoric about the hole in the budget, the state's budget, the first is avoid further cuts. And I think most people realize that involves making the income tax increase permanent. So that has to happen. Then the General Assembly has to allocate additional funds to schooling so that we start moving in the right direction relative to school aid funding. And frankly, if that isn't sufficient, then what Springfield School District will have to do is to give serious consideration to turning to local taxpayers with a referendum in the education fund. That will prove to be a very hard task, but it'll either be that or just to continue to dismantle the district to a level that won't be good for the children in the community and won't be good for the community as a whole to further see a deterioration in what should be a community asset.